Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, do you think that you are super powerful? I don't mean just powerful, super powerful. Maybe you really are. And it's not so hard. Maybe just being you, knowing how to get the most of you, is awesome. And we're going to learn about how to really own your greatness in this life with somebody who is powerful in her own right. I'm so impressed. I've been thrilled knowing that I'm going to be interviewing Dr. Karen Kahn, who is a doctor, a medical doctor, but she is a doctor of also of light medicine, L-I-G-H-T, even though we might think of it as light medication because we don't want to take medication that seriously, except when it's really needed. But Dr. Karen is somebody who explores all the realms of mind, body, and spirit to provide the best answers. And so I'm so excited to have Dr. Karen on Energy Stew. Welcome, Karen.
Hi, Peter. Thanks so much for having me.
You know, I'm so impressed because you're somebody who is providing information to the public in vast quantities. You do a zillion videos. You have so much information. And it goes on and on. I've watched quite a number of your videos, and each one I'm so impressed with that of
thank you.
You know, how, of the scope that you explore on all these levels. It's amazing. And so you're somebody who actually has been through the dark night of your soul, right?
Absolutely. So many of us use that as inspiration to do our mission.
Right, exactly, because we want to get out of there. That dark night is no fun to live with. So what's next? What can I do to bring the light back? And you certainly have, and it's fantastic. You also are an athlete, and I've had a life of athletics, and so I'm also psyched that you are a figure skater and have really done well in competition.
Thank you. Yeah, so, you know, I started as a figure skater, like wanting to stop, turn around, skate backwards. That was my three goals. And that was at age about 29-ish. And now I'm, you know, mid-50s and, you know, multiple different gold, silver, bronze medals later in adult figure skating in three disciplines. I have to say, yeah, I learned how to do those three things.
I'm so impressed, and I was never a good skater. So it even is more fascinating to me to talk with someone who is so good at that. So I want to talk about how you function in this world of mind, body, spirit, because you're also a medical intuitive, and as I am, and but I'm so impressed with the vast knowledge that you use to perform medical intuition, and I also watched a video of you talking about muscle testing and how you've learned to self-test, and so there's so much of your world that you follow your tests. you muscle test, and then you let your muscles kind of show you the way to the next test and the next one, and get to the bottom of what is bothering people. And I love the questions that you have. And we talked before the show started that I don't think the answers are as important as the questions, because if you don't have the questions, there are no answers.
I agree. Yeah, the quality of question begets the quality of the answer. So in muscle testing, as you know, Peter, is a lot of getting a yes and no answer. So you have to, you know, make the question so that it can be answered with a yes or no. And and muscle testing is used by, you know, probably millions of people all over the world to get and tap into intuitive answers. I don't even like really think of myself as a medical intuitive per se. You know, we've done in the past, I've done some trainings where, you know, you can peer into the body and just go on kind of a squeegee hunt, just looking at everything, like as if you have a camera inside the body and just seeing what you see there, you know, and that's all fun, but it's not my way. So I found a way that people can easily use that yes, no answer by using their own body in muscle testing. And then I created a bunch of charts that people can figure out the answer. But like you said, it's the quality of the question that helps us deepen the quality of the answer because there's so much information out there that the universe has. And a lot of people are just like, oh, is eating bread good for me? Yes or no. And then they stop there, you know, but there's so much more that you can ask.
Well, what you do also is you're not only testing for yes or no, you're also testing for strong or weak. And so you explore the body with your fingers and you know the anatomy so well that you can go into the intricacy of people's anatomy and see where the trouble is because your muscle testing, I mean, granted it's a question, is this particular part of the anatomy strong or weak, yes or no? But you don't even have to ask, you just have to be there and your fingers then show you what works or what doesn't work, right?
Well, yeah, there's many different ways of doing it. I like talking, so it focuses my mind. So sometimes, you know, some of our students that learn my Topokan healing method, we teach them how to do the alignment piece where we connect to source, get the best quality answer, and then ask the yes, no question in various different ways. And then we activate the healing. So three steps in that healing modality. And so sometimes during the ask phase, I'm a medical doctor. So yes, I have more knowledge of anatomy than the average person for sure. But we've taught people where, for example, we did a masterclass on eye stuff. So I just pulled charts from like images on the internet. And literally you can just look at the chart and go, well, how happy and balanced is the iris? And how happy and balanced is the vitreous humor? How happy and balanced is the retina? How happy and balanced, you know, the cones and the optic chiasm and the communication between that and the brain. And so there's all these things that people wouldn't think of asking because they don't know anatomy. But if you actually just look on in the internet, you can actually get a lot of information. In fact, one of my former patients had suffered a heart attack and she didn't have her paperwork with her. And I asked her which artery did they say was a problem. She says, I don't remember. So we just went online together. She looked at the screen and I just pointed to show her, pointed how happy is this artery, this. And we found one that was very unhappy. And I said, well, my best guess is it's this one. So we did the healing activation related to what needed to heal for that artery. And she went to the doctor like the next week and said, yep, that's exactly the one that you told
me. Of course.
It's on the paperwork.
That's how perfectly the system works. And that's wonderful. And what I like also, whereas I suggested just finding strong or weak, you actually qualify what's, if it's weak, why it's weak. And I think that's really part of the verbal thing that you're so good at.
Right, like we ask sophisticated questions and we do a countdown method. So instead of just, is the liver happy? Yes or no, we say, how happy is the liver? Is it more than 90% happy? No. 80%? No. 70%? Yes. Is it above 75%? No. Okay, so is it 74? No. 73? No. 72? Yes. Right. And so that's how we do like a little bit more in-depth observation of that. And then, you know, being a light medicine person, we look at the non-physical aspects as well. So we might say how happy and balanced is the blueprint or how optimal is the blueprint for a healthy liver in that person, in that body, and it may be 30%. So they have a distorted blueprint and you cannot have a healthy physical liver with an unhealthy energetic blueprint.
And then how do you,
Sheldrake talked about morphogenetic fields, so that's what we're talking about here.
And how do you change blueprints?
That's very easy. You just command that the ideal blueprint be downloaded and activated in that person. So you want to be in that connection with source, right? That connection, so that that you can download and activate that. So we teach that in the three-step Topokan and healing method, just kind of methodically how you do that. People practice, then they recheck afterwards to see if that worked. On rare occasion, it doesn't work, and that's because something else needs to heal first. So that's where the charts come into, you know, handy, where we go, what needs to heal first?
Right.
You know, it might be a curse, that might be somebody's got a mineral imbalance. And so it gives us kind of a quick way of looking up what it could be.
Could be genetic too, right?
It's very rarely genetic.
Oh, okay.
More likely to be morphogenetically passed. So, you know, like I had one gal who had vitamin D levels that were really nonsensical. I couldn't understand why her body kept saying it needed vitamin D, vitamin D, vitamin D. I did her lab results and it was pretty high. And I'm like, well, according to Western medicine, you don't need vitamin D, but your body keeps asking for it. And then my medical doctor hat came on and said, well, maybe she's not absorbing it in the cells. So we asked, how happy is the vitamin D receptor? Oh, it was terrible. So I asked why, looked at the chart, and it said there was a curse 80 generations back. So we removed the curse. We removed it for everyone in that family line. And the next time we checked the vitamin D levels, it was much more appropriate. She still did require vitamin D, but not as high a level, and everything kind of balanced out. So there's a lot of things that we were never taught in medical school on the energetic, spiritual level that is really valid. And other types of medicines talk about it. Ancient medicines like Chinese medicine, the Egyptian medicine, you know, they talk about these blueprints.
I love that. You know, this is, that's what I was referring to, that what you bring to this in mind, body, and spirit, where you can ask questions that most people can't even think of. And that's
my claim to fame. Well, because I'm a super powerful healer, I'm also special. No, I want everybody to be amazing healers for themselves, and I'm just the conduit of information to teach you how to ask the question.
But I think that's why people really need to explore your videos, because there's so much information in your videos that you're constantly teaching from them, and it's so wonderful.
Thank you.
Now you've referred to Topokanal healing, and I don't know that word, Topokanal. What is
it? Topokan. So the can is my last name, the K-A-N at the end. Topa is very interesting. I think you might find this curious. I was never planning to have a healing modality. It was the last thing on my mind. I'd already certified in multiple healing modalities. So I thought, well, why do I need another one, right? So I kind of had a little argument one day with my guardian angels. and because I had it all in my head, not written down anywhere. And because I kept finding esoteric kind of weird stuff, you know, on the testing. And I'm like, okay, well, it's not in this model. It's not in that healing modality. So I would just other, you know, and then I had this whole list of things that I would run down. And then finally, you know, I got this message that I needed to create a healing modality. And I'm like, no, because there's so many great healing modalities out there. But they did convince me, because they said, number one, not everybody resonates with everybody. So certain people are going to gravitate to you. Certain people are going to gravitate to other teachers. And number two, it's part of your soul expression in this lifetime to create. And I was like, okay, that I got. So I did agree to, you know, create the healing modality. And then the next thing out of my breath was, I'm not calling it after my name. Because I had this whole ego thing, right? I was anti-ego or something back then. And, you know, the angels chuckled a little bit and they said, yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. I'm like, why do you want my name in there? And they said, because you have an issue with it, then you need to get over it.
Oh, good.
And I was like, okay. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to call it the can method. So I said, well, is there some sort of like a name for this thing? And the answer was, yes, there is. It actually originally was fairly ancient. And Jesus, for example, was one of the original eight that were supposedly attuned to these frequencies. And when I was a Lemurian healer way back when, I don't really remember too much from that lifetime, I was also personally attuned by Archangel Raphael. And so I said, oh, that's cool. And then I said, well, is there a name for that? And they said, well, yes. And I said, well, what is it? And it's not in English. It's like a crop circle. I'm like, Okay, that doesn't help me with marketing, okay?
Right.
So I said, give me what's the closest thing, and tulpa came up, and I'm like, oh no, not that, because tulpa on the negative connotation is being able to imagine a demon to do your negative work, right? And I'm like, okay, how is this relevant? But what tulpa, and I spell it differently on purpose, what they were trying to communicate to me was that humans have this incredible ability to imagine and create. This is one of the things that other species are very pretty impressed with. I mean, they may have super high tech and can travel multiple dimensions, you know, and we don't do that on a daily basis. We drive to the, you know, Walmart and get upset because there's too many traffic lights. And, you know, this whole tulpa means really being able to create from our imagination. I was like, oh, so I just put the two together, tulpa can. And that's how it. It's not easy to pronounce, unfortunately, or spell. But that's how
that's why I wanted to talk with you about it, so I could become more.
Yes, thank you for asking.
But it, you know, even while you were describing all that, it just shows the scope of your consciousness and what you include in you know, in terms of your soul path and where you've been in other lifetimes, etc. Now, it's very important, I think, to hold life in that larger context, and I'm glad that you do. So you have so many teachings that I'm fascinated by, and one of the teachings has to do with five keys to heaven on earth, and I thought they were very valuable. So in other words, for us to proceed in evolution, there are ways that we need to hold ourselves and act in ways that are appropriate to making progress. And I thought your five keys were right on in terms of how to do that. Do you want to go over them a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, sure. Thank you. You know, there, I grew up very religious, and it was always when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. You know, that was the whole goal. And I got very anxious, and being a recovering perfectionist, you know, it was always about doing the right thing, the right thing, the right thing, always trying to figure out what the right thing was. It was very stressful, and I wasn't a very happy person. I had very low self-esteem. And what I've come to find out over the years of, you know, doing my own self-healing through my own dark night of the soul, healing from fibromyalgia, autoimmune disease, being on medications, almost killing myself from depression, right, and getting to the other side and helping other people do that as well, is that heaven is not a place. It's a state of being. And as we vibrate at that state of being, the more people, humans, 3D, vibrating at that state of being, that's how we reconfigure reality. So I've talked about the three phases of medicine, where the first phase is symptom relief, where a lot of people are at, right? Using conventional medicine. Theoretically, they're using shots and pills and to get rid of the symptoms, masking, that kind of thing. The second stage is more naturopathic, homeopathic medicine, where we're talking about more about emotions and diet and lifestyle changes, hugely valuable. These people reverse disease, right? And then we have light medicine up here, which is reconfiguring our reality. So we can have peace literally overnight. I know that's hard for people to understand at the moment, but it's about each of us vibrating at that level. So that state of being brings heaven on earth, and the five C's are kind of like the action steps, if you will, that actually complement the state of being. The first one being commitment, you know, being committed to that path is to being who you really are fully. And we keep discovering right. this over and over and over again.
To really choose it.
Right, exactly. You could actually even, that could be a C, you know, that is that commitment, that choice is choosing over and over and over again, that recommitment. And then there's consciousness, because that is at the end of the day, from my point of view, I know people argue with me. They say, you got to kill the bad guys. You got to execute him. Got to get rid of them off the planet. I understand that point of view. I don't resonate with that, because I think they've tried that before. And I don't think it works.
They keep coming back.
You know, consciousness to me is where it's at. Like, you've probably heard of those, you know, native or ancient cultures where if somebody stole something or did something bad to someone, instead of putting them in jail, and ostracizing them for the rest of their lives. They bring them into the community, they take care of them. They address the root of the problem, whether that's childhood trauma, abandonment, betrayal, abuse, whatever that is, right? And they love that person into the light. By just killing them, what are you gonna do? Well, probably get some entities released to stick on somebody else. You know, their soul might be recycled into another lifetime where they're doing, who knows?
Exactly.
Consciousness to me is very important. And then of course there's congruency and consistency and compassion. So congruency meaning, you know, closer and closer to walking our talk. And am I perfect at it? Absolutely not. But it's like getting closer to that, walking my talk. As I discover new things, become conscious of real truth that I didn't know were there. Like as a medical doctor, there's certain things that we were taught that absolutely are not true. So then it's like, okay, now that I know that, how are my actions congruent and consistent with that new knowledge? And consistency, that could be meditating every day, that could be connecting to nature every day, that could be just recommitting to your goals and being at peace. But that consistency is huge. And of course, compassion for ourselves and for others is to me, my, you know, the way of manifesting true heaven on earth for all, not just the good people, not just the nice people, not just the Christians, not just the Muslims, you know, for every being in the universe. So thank you for, you know, allowing me to share the five C's.
No, I love it. And it's so important to for us to all work on ourselves constantly because we're in a time of great change. And if we're not paying attention, we will lose important steps moving forward and not make the progress that we really feel that we can.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And working on ourselves is not like some horrible drudgery. You know, some people are like, ugh, working up. No, it's not like that at all. It's really, it can be so joyful and discovering more about ourselves, appreciating, love ourselves, you know, a little bit more each day. And it's not because we're not enough. It's because it's this role of, you know, rediscovery of who we really are. And right. It's supposed to be fun. And I find it personally fun. So I think if people are working on themselves and feeling drudgery, you know, maybe try something different.
I think we need to become innocent. We need to give up attitudes and opinions and just come from scratch. You know, I think in, is it Zen or it's Taoism where they say, wake up every morning as a new baby.
Yeah, it is a wonderful teaching. And I resonate with a lot that of the Taoist philosophy. And those, you know, not judging, persecuting, blaming, shaming, you know, all criticizing, all those things that we habitually as a society are almost addicted to, the drama, you know, the trauma and the drama. If we actually let that go, it's amazing how much faster our collective healing can be and how much more enjoyable our lives can be.
Right. And so I think a lot of this is for people to, you know, learn from each other. Like, to me, you are such a blessing because you have such an understanding of this journey that we're on and how to make the most of it. And I think we all need to have that perspective. You know, if we're just on our own and not learning from each other and bouncing off each other and finding out about ourselves and what works and what doesn't work, then we don't know how to take the next step. So I think it's really important to work from these and with each other and find people who are like-minded. It's one of the things I like about the show is that I think the audience is very like-minded.
That's fantastic. And you've been doing this for a really long time. So you're really the pioneer, you know, of this kind of thing. And it's fantastic. I totally agree with you. I used to think that, you know, if I was the best healer on the planet, I wouldn't need anyone else. Like, right. If I'm really, really the best healer, then I could just heal myself and not really have to talk to anybody or have to deal with anyone. But that's not the purpose of our life. You know, everybody mirrors us. even those people we don't like, you know, mirrors us on some level and helps us explore. And in relationship, we grow and change much, much faster than necessarily living in a cave all by ourselves, all on our own. I mean, that there's benefits to that too. But I agree with you that we have this ability to be in community, shift and change and make a difference. And that is really where it's at least from my personal opinion.
Right. And I think even right now, while we're talking, the people listening to us are listening to us for those reasons.
And for not feeling alone, because I think given that, you know, the people that I work with are highly sensitive, Peter, as you know, I like to talk about sensitivity being their superpower, their intuiting, manifesting, healing superpowers. And one of the number one hurts that they have, pain, if you will, is that they feel alone and isolated. No one understands them. Nobody gets them. They just want to medicate them. And it's very hurtful and difficult for them. And so these folks, once they know they're in a community that hears them, sees them, and is like them, you know, that's not going to criticize them for being overly sensitive, then they feel, oh, I've come home. I am now supported. Yeah. So we right. love having that.
And a lot of times people call me, and I'm sure call you, and identify us as an oasis for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's holding the space for that. And one of the most difficult thing I think it is in general for spiritual teachers of all types, and the more popular that you get, the more enticing it can be to slip off that path. But it's really like moment to moment releasing that ego. And so I can tell if my ego starts to get out of control, because the universe will give me feedback very quickly. And I listen to that feedback. So it's kind of cool when people, you know, are commenting on my YouTube channel or something like that, and like, you're the most egoless person I've met, you know. I was like, oh, that's a great compliment. Thanks so much. Right. And it's not because I'm working on it, because I just realized, like you said, that innocent child, like waking up every day and in that wonder, because I don't have all the answers. And am I willing to let go of everything that I have built in this reality in this lifetime? Like, for example, one of the things we did really well is to heal entities, you know, dark evil spirits. But I just found out that four of the most insidious dark evil spirits are now completely healed from our reality that we shared together. So that literally could mean I'm out of a job.
Free.
Am I willing to be out of a job so I can evolve myself, my business, my teaching? And yeah, is it more work? Absolutely, it's more work to reinvent everything, right? But I'm okay with that, because I want heaven on earth just like everybody else. So right. Let's celebrate all of that and go of the ego, let go of the attachment of losing whatever we
and let's tell people how to find you so they can get more of you.
Sure. Thank you, Peter. So KarenCann.com. So my name, a great place to start. Right at the top, you'll see my number one bestselling book, Sensitivity is Your Superpower. So getting a copy of the book, either the ebook from myself or any of the book resellers or retailers, there's actually $1,000 worth of bonuses, including some healing and meditation MP3s and classes involved. So you can come back to the website and put your order number in, or if you buy the ebook straight from me, you'll get it right away. All those bonuses. For folks looking for community, we have a couple of options. The Light Warrior Network is on Facebook for the Facebook people. And for folks that aren't on Facebook, we actually built a new light medicine community on this app called Circle. We haven't launched yet, but if someone gets one of my freebies or buys a book, then you can actually just wait for the email, because in the next 2 months we'll be launching that, and people want a private space where it's not Facebook. Facebook isn't data mining, you know. They want to talk about some of this spicier stuff, sometimes censored stuff, then they can join us there in the light medicine community. So
this is great. Thank you so much, Dr. Mm-hmm. Karen Pan.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show, Peter.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.live. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heart river.org. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening.